Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show. We are here in the studio talking about the devotion of Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamu alayha, to Walaya. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show. First and foremost, our condolences to all the believers all across the world, wherever you are, upon the martyrdom anniversary of the daughter of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, Her Eminence, Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamu alayha. In ode to Her Eminence and in commemoration of her martyrdom anniversary, we wanted to speak a little bit about Her Eminence's devotion and dedication to Walaya and to Imama. In order to talk a little bit about this, we decided to humbly invite Sheikh Ruhullah Rouhani to come and speak to us about it a little bit. We go ahead and invite him and start the show. Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse talk show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Of course, it's an honor and pleasure for me to be here, inshallah, talking about the Lady Zahra salamullahi alayha.
Sheikh Rouhani, of course, first and foremost, again, our condolences to you and to your near and dear ones on the martyrdom anniversary of Lady Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha. We wanted to talk a little bit about Her Eminence's dedication and devotion to Walaya and to Imama and this institution, this divine institution, if you will, of Imama and Walaya. And so along these lines, we decided to invite you, inshallah, and we hand it over to you in the name of Allah.
Yes, of course, it's a really significant question that what was some of the, we can say, practical efforts Lady Zahra made in regard to wilayah or guardianship and imamate.
Yes.
And of course, when it comes to this issue, when we go back to the history, we see that Lady Zahra salamullah alayha, after the demise of the Holy Prophet, she did not pay allegiance to the first caliph, because in both Sunni and Shi'i sources, you can find no kind of evidence to prove that Lady Zahra salamullah alayha paid allegiance to the first caliph.
Mm-hmm. This is both, as you said,
course,
Sunni
and
Shia sources.
Yeah, you can check.
There's no evidence that she formally or publicly paid allegiance to the first caliph,
of
Abu
course.
Bakr.
Mm. And even Lady Zahra salamullah alayha told Amirul Mu'mineen to bury her during the night, while, for example, the caliph cannot attend the burial or the funeral kind of ceremony of Lady Zahra salamullah alayha.
Yes.
It shows that she was not pleased.
She was upset with the
caliphs. So that is why now the question is that we have a hadith, a narration from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying that man mata wa lam ya'rif imam zamanihi mata mitat al-jahiliyyah. So this content of this hadith may be in different kind of phrases, but the same content is narrated by both Sunni and Shiite scholars and narrators.
Right, this
maybe
idea
this,
that...
Maybe the same phrase is not there, but the content is all available in both sides, I mean both sources of Sunni and Shia. And then the question is that, okay...
Well, this, I wanted to translate it in case
people who
don't know Arabic, this idea that one who dies without knowing the imam of their time, Zamanihi, they die the death of Jahiliyyah, which is ignorance or kufar or non-believers.
Yeah, of course, when we say ignorance, it means this death will be death of the people before Islam, when they were non-Muslims.
Yes.
So as kafir, as infidels, person who does not know the Imam Zamanihi, he will die like the people before Islam, like the infidels and polytheists of Mecca.
So this is quite serious.
Yeah, of course.
And it's found in both
the
traditions of the Ahlul Sunnah and the Shia.
It means that without knowing the successor of the true successor of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you would be not included among the true believers and mu'mineen. So now the question is that from one side we see that Lady Zahra salamullah alayha is among the household of the Prophet.
Sure.
And the Holy Quran is mentioned that إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهَ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ وَيُطَهِّرَكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. The Lady Zahra is purified. You know, by the whole Quran, he is introduced as the purified figure, as ma'sum, as infallible. And from the other side, we see that he did not pay allegiance to the first caliph. And it means that so the first caliph was not Imam Zamanihi, not Imam of the time of Lady Zahra sallallahu alayha.
Sure, because
and
he did
the hadith
not pay
says that if someone does not know the Imam Zamanihi, so he will die or she will die death of ignorance. Now the question is that who was the Imam of Lady Zahra?
Because she must have known her
she
Imam
must have known, yeah, of course,
if she was to
because she
die
is purified,
the death
yeah,
of a believer.
She is the master of the ladies of Jannah, according to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet says that man adhaha faqad adhani wa man adhani faqad adhallah. The one who is not pleased, the one with whom Lady Zahra is not pleased, Allah is not pleased with him. So he is like a criterion. By her we know that who are the true believer. Yeah. So now the question is that Lady Zahra sallallahu alayha, based on the ayat of the Holy Quran and also the sayings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's absolutely among the mu'mineen. And among the infallibles and among the people of Jannah and Paradise.
Right.
So now the question is that who was the Imam of this lady?
Sheikh Rouhani, can I add one thing?
Yes.
Because you said something that was very, it was very profound, right? And I think it's an injustice if we just pass over it. But this idea that, you know, you said that one who displeases or, you know, whoever Lady Fatima Zahra salamullah alayha is displeased with, Allah is also displeased with. That's a very profound statement. And again, this is from the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him. It's not from some ordinary human being.
Yeah, it is narrated by both Sunni and Shia narrators.
Both Sunnis and Shia.
Yeah.
And
you
so,
can refer to the sources.
I mean, if you want to talk a little bit about that, because it is such a profound statement that an individual has, I guess, these kind of divine emotions or this exalted status, spiritual, and you know, that their displeasure is connected to the displeasure of Allah. If you just would like to speak about that a little bit, because I think it is something, I mean, it's amazing,
yeah, of course.
To be honest with you.
You know, when you go back to the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look, the Prophet ﷺ, many times it is narrated by the wives of the Holy Prophet, like Umm Salama, Aisha, and the other wives of the Holy Prophet, that whenever Zahra ﷺ entered a house or a place where the Prophet was there, a Prophet stood up and approached Lady Zahra and kissed her hand, and then bring it and sit Lady Zahra in the place where the Prophet was sitting.
SubhanAllah.
So this kind of respect we see that was paid to Lady Zahra by the Holy Prophet, you know?
Yes.
And the Holy Prophet says that, yes, of course, the one with whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, with whom Lady Zahra is displeased, it means that Allah is displeased with her, with her or him. So this kind of practical kind of, let's say, conduct or seerah of the Holy Prophet tells us that Lady Zahra, my daughter, is like a criterion after me to whom you should refer, you know? Because if you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure with you, then Lady Zahra should be pleased with you. And when Lady Zahra is respected that way by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the presence of ashab, in the presence of the wives of the Holy Prophet, it shows the highest, let's say, level or rank or status of Lady Zahra sallallahu alayha, both in the eyes and the sight of the Holy Prophet and Allah subhanahu
wa ta'ala.
So that's why it's a really significant question for all Muslims.
Yes.
Of course, we do pay respect to the companions, to the caliphs. You know, we do not want to disrespect them. But the question is that when it comes to Lady Zahra's seerah, what should we do? So who was the Imam of this lady?
Yes.
You know? So of course, when this question comes, it becomes really important and significant because the one who wants to know that after the demise of the Holy Prophet, what should he do? To whom we should refer? Whom should we follow? In many ahadith, the Holy Prophet said that you have to refer to my Ahlul Bayt. You know? Inni tarikun fikum al-thiqlain. Kitab Allah wa itrati Ahlul Bayti. I leave you two weighty and precious things. One is my Ahl, one is the Quran, the Holy Quran. But beside the Holy Quran, the Holy Prophet introduces what? The Ahlul Bayt, his household. It means that even Quran without household should not be followed. or the household of the Prophet, the Imam alayhi salatu wasalam, without Quran should not be followed. They are complementary to each other.
Complementary to each other.
Exactly. Yes. So that's why here, if we find someone as caliph or successor of the Holy Prophet without Ahlul Bayt, according to this hadith of the Holy Prophet, so that would be not perfect. Yeah, that would not be
naqis,
complete.
Naqis, some
imperfect,
kind of,
a, of course.
Yeah, imperfect. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why. So we are 100% sure and certain that Lady Zahra died while she did not pay allegiance to the first caliph. Mm. So. And
this is, again, I know we keep on bringing it up because this idea that this is a common knowledge both amongst the Sunni brothers
and the Shia brothers. Yes.
This
of
is
course.
Not something that is one-sided thing that, you know, that Shias only say that Lady Zahra salamu alayha didn't pay allegiance to the first caliph. Even the Ahlul Sunnah brothers,
they know
this and they say
even the grave of Lady is unknown.
Is unknown, yes.
Till now, because she... According to the will he presented to Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, she said that, of course, O Ali, please bury me during the night. Mm-hmm. And even the burial, let's say...
In secret.
Procession should be performed during the night. Because no other companions, except for very few close companions of Amir al-Mu'minin, they took part. And the other rest were not allowed to come.
Well, they didn't know.
Of course, they didn't know. Of course. After the burial of Lady Zahra Samullah Aleha, no one knew that where was Lady was buried. So this is for sure. Yeah. And the question should be answered this way: that of course the Imam of Lady Zahra was Amir al-Mu'minin, Ali alayhi salatu wasalam.
Right.
Because ladies, according to both Sunni and Shia's narrators and narrations and ahadiths and historical accounts of life of Lady Zahra and Amir al-Mu'minin and Hassan al-Hussein, it is narrated in many ahadiths, we can refer to the sources, both Shia and Sunni sources, that Lady Zahra salamullah alayhi took the hands of her two children, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein, together with Amir al-Mu'minin, and went to many of the companions' houses.
In Medina.
Yeah, of course, in informing them, reminding them of the Ghadir.
Yes.
Of the wilayah.
And the bayah that they took, the allegiance they took.
Of course.
In front of the Messenger.
Yeah, of course. And the day that some people came to the house of Amir al-Mu'minin and took Amir al-Mu'minin to masjid forcefully, in that scene, of course, we see that in that event also Lady Zahra tried her best to support Amir al-Mu'minin, to protect Amir al-Mu'minin anyhow. So
now this is also in the history text of the Ahlul Sunnah brothers.
Of course, we do not
that
say
people
from
came
our own
to
self,
the house, and when they came to the house, then eventually they took Imam Ali with them.
Yeah, of course.
And took them to the masjid in order take this allegiance from him.
Yeah.
So this is not something that is being. The thing is, sometimes our Sunni brothers have a tendency to say, well, this is only a Shia story, this is a Shia fairy tale, nobody went to her house, nobody dragged Imam Ali, nobody made him do allegiance. But this is the things that you find in our Sunni brothers' textbooks.
Yeah, these facts that we are mentioning are from both Sunni and Shia sources. Mm. But if you go only refer to the Shia sources, there are lots of things.
More things, extra things.
We don't mention them. We just mention those common things that are shared between Shia and Sunni. Mm-hmm. So that is why, of course, when it comes to these differences among Muslims, it doesn't mean that we should disrespect each other. We should misbehave or disrespect each other. No, we do respect each other. But when it comes to the issue of wilayah and guardianship or imamah after the demise of the Holy Prophet, when we refer to the seerah, to the practical, let's say, seerah or conduct, or religious conduct, or seerah ad-dini of the Lady Zahra Samullah alayha, we see these kind of facts.
Yes.
So at least a Muslim should ask himself or herself that, okay, what should I do? One side we have Lady Zahra, and the other side we have the others. Lady Zahra is among Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam. Lady Zahra is purified. The Holy Prophet said that you have to follow Lady Zahra after me. So in this case, when we want to follow Lady Zahra, so of course this is the seerah of Lady Zahra.
Right.
And there is no doubt about that.
Right.
And that is why it seems that the role of Lady Zahra, salamullah alayha, though she lived very short time after the Holy Prophet, salamullah alayhi wa sallam, even in that short time, maybe, you know, according to some of the narration, it was a few weeks. She played a very great role in the history of Islam. Actually, she introduced a way, or let's say, what we can say, a kind of seerah amaliyah to Muslims, to the Muslim ummah, to the Muslim nation, that yes, this was my seerah, this was my understanding of Islam, this was my understanding of imamate and successorship or khilafah, and now choice is yours. Okay? So that is why we see that, unfortunately, because the people did not listen to Lady Zahra, sallallahu alayha, did not follow this great lady. So later you see what happened to Imam al-Hasan and Imam al-Hussein, particularly Abu Abdullah al-Hussein in Karbala. So these are the very fact that we see in the history.
Sheikh, I wanted to ask you one more thing before I bring the discussion towards the present day and this, for example, system of Wulatul Faqih and these kind of things. But before that, you know, sometimes people, they ask, they said they will ask that, you know, this is something that happened 1,000 years ago. You know, why do the Shias keep on talking about this? Why do they keep bringing it up? You know, this idea that the grave of Her Eminence is hidden, or people came to the house, people attacked her, people hurt her, you know, to the point where she, you know, she was martyred or she passed away in anger. She was upset with specific people, you know. They say, you keep bringing it up, you know, what benefit is it? Leave what happened in the past in the past. If you'd like to comment on this kind of a statement.
Yeah, of course. It is, again, important question that, okay, what are the benefits of these kind of issues that we discuss? Nowadays, in the modern time. The point is that, dear brothers and sisters, the main question is this, that, of course, we all try to get the true lessons of Islam. The true teachings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the true interpretation or explanation of the Holy Quran,
the pure Muhammadan Islam.
Yeah, of course, the pure Muhammadi Islam, the pure Islam. This is the main concern for all Muslims. Makes no difference whether we are Salafi, Wahhabi, Sunni, Shi'i, whatever. The main concern of all of us is what is to get to the truth,
the haqiqah
of Islam. You know, haqqul Islam. What is that? This is the question. So we have different ways, different means by which we can get to Islam, to the Holy Prophet.
This truth, reality
to the Holy Quran, for example. So, for example, we want to know what is the real and the true teachings of the Holy Prophet. How can we get this? Prophet is not available. You know, we do not have direct access to the Holy Prophet. So we have access to the Holy Prophet through companions, through the Ahlul Bayt, through the Tabi'in, Sahabi, and the rest of the scholars in the history. We have access to the interpretation of the Holy Quran, to the explanation of the Quran through what? Through Ashabs, through whole Ahlul Bayt. The question is that which one of these means, which one of these explanations, which one of these interpretation of Islam, which one of them are more trustable,
and closer
more
to that
reliable,
pure Muhammadan
more
Islam,
pure,
the
more Muhammadan Islam, of course. This is the main concern.
You know,
that is why, when the Holy Prophet وسلم, himself says that after me you have to refer to Ahlul Bayt.
That's a claim.
So then what should we do then? Shouldn't we care about what the Ahlul Bayt say about the Holy Prophet? The way that Ahlul Bayt interpret the Holy Quran, the way that Ahlul Bayt introduce Islam? Isn't it the more trustable source? Isn't it the trustable, let's say, mean by which we can get access to the pure Islam? This is the question, you know? We as Muslims, of course, nowadays, we live in the modern time, but of course, we are in dire need of understanding and perceiving the true Islam. So what are the means? What are the trustable means by which we can get to that Islam, you know? That is the Ahlul Bayt, based on the Quran and the teachings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We should refer to the Holy Quran. Quran tells us that Ahlul Bayt are mutahhar, purified, infallible. They never commit any sin, and you have to trust them 100%. Because they never go astray. And at the same time, the Holy Prophet says that if you refer to the Quran without my Ahlul Bayt, your Islam is imperfect, deficient. So then, of course, if we find, again, for the Sunni Muslim brothers, we should say that if you find something from Ahlul Bayt which is opposed to the Quran, of course, we do not care about those kind of teachings.
Yeah, we don't accept those teachings.
Yeah, of course. Because we see both Quran and Ahlul Bayt like the true means by which we can get to the true Islam. So this is the fact that we need to know who were the Ahlul Bayt, what did they do, how did they introduce Islam, what is their introduction of Islam for Muslims. We refer to the Ahlul Bayt.
Yeah, Jazakallah. I wanted to just kind of confirm this one thing, and I had said I was going to move on, and I didn't move on. I apologize. But apparently, one of our teachers was speaking to us, and they had said that in Sahih Bukhari, which is, it's a lot of traditions, that apparently it does not have traditions from Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam or Imam Baqir alayhi salam. And to me, that was really shocking, that a book which has thousands of traditions, and these, Sahih Bukhari was written after Imam Baqir and Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam. So, it should have had at least one or two or five or 10, when these are individuals who, Imam Baqir alayhi salam had thousands of students, Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam had thousands of students. And yet this idea that, because it's not disconnected, right? We're talking about how, where do you get to reach that pure Muhammadan Islam, that true Islam that Allah has revealed for humanity and salvation. And to me, this was really, it was shocking that there's no traditions from these two imams, whom all of the Sunni scholars revere. I just wanted to add that in there, along with your point.
When we as Shia Muslims, when we refer to Imam al-Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam, our brothers should know that Imam Baqir is the son of Imam Zain al-Abidin. Imam Zain al-Abidin is son of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam. Husayn is the grandson of the Holy Prophet. Imam Husayn is included in the ayat al-Tathir, okay? He is among the people of Mawahila. And of course, when we refer to Imam al-Baqir, who narrate from his father from Imam al-Husayn from the Holy Prophet, or from Imam Ali from the Holy Prophet. So the chain of the transmitters are all trustable.
Yeah, subhanAllah.
Are all ma'soom, are all infallible. There is no any problem with this chain of transmitter. There is golden chain of transmitter.
Yeah, this.
So even if we do not believe in the imamate of these people,
at least this chain of narration.
As great scholars, as pure, righteous scholars, as very respected scholars that you rightly mentioned for Ahl Sunnah, they are also respected scholars, ulama al-abrar. So even if we believe that they are ulama al-abrar, the respected scholars, so even in that case, when these respected scholars narrate a hadith from such a golden chain of transmitter, then what should we do with these ahadiths?
Right.
Shouldn't we accept them? Shouldn't we believe in them?
Right.
Let those other narrators who narrate ahadiths from the Holy Prophet from their other chains, but look at this chain of the transmission
of this
or the transmitters. Yeah.
Jazakallah.
This is important,
It's very important, and that's why I think a lot of times people don't think about this. Even our Ahlul Sunnah brothers don't think twice about it, and that's why I wanted to bring the question up so that,
before your question, add one point that we Shia believe that whatever Imam al-Baqir alayhi salatu wasalam says in respect to Islamic teachings, they are all from his father, Imam Sajjad. Imam Sajjad is the teacher, at the same time, father of Imam al-Baqir.
Yes.
He does not say anything from his own self, because they are on Nurun Wahid, all the Ahlul Bayt. And then the knowledge of Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam is from his father, Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. And Abu Abdullah al-Husayn is the student of Lady Zahra, the Holy Prophet, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Whatever knowledge they convey to us, they are from the pure source, which is Ahlul Bayt. So that's why whatever Imam al-Baqir, Imam al-Sadiq says, even Imam Ridha alayhi salatu wasalam, the rest of A'imma alayhi salatu wasalam, they are all from the Holy Prophet, not from anyone else.
Yeah.
And this chain of transmission is golden chain. Silsilatul Dhahab is there. Al-Dhahabi is there, of course. That's why we believe in them. That's why we believe that the Ahlul Bayt are Noor, are light, because they are connected to the light of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So sometimes some of the Sunni brothers might get confused that, okay, where they can find these ahadith, yeah? From which source they narrate the Imams of Shia, what is the main sources that they narrate these ahadith? They should know that our source is Ahl al-Bayt.
Ahl al-Bayt,
Hussein, Fatima al-Zahra, Ali alayhi salam, and the Holy Prophet. Mm. You know, this way we believe in the Ahl al-Bayt alayhi salatu wa salam. Mm. So that's why even if no one narrate any hadith from their own sources, from this Ahl al-Bayt, it never devalue, for example, the status or the position of Ahl al-Bayt and their hadith.
Jazakallah. So, Sheikh Rouhani, I wanted to ask one last question again, which is that connection between the past and the present. And so here, how did Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamu alayha, how did Her Eminence establish the principles of wilaya and the principles of imama? And do we see that continue into the present day?
Of course, Lady Zahra Salamullah Alayha is the, what we can say, the connection between imams or imamate and prophethood. Because A'imma Alayhim Salatu Wasalam are the children of this lady, Salamullah Alayha.
Yes.
And then we can say that Lady Zahra is somehow the founder of the principle of imamate, because she is the one that after the demise of the Holy Prophet introduced the imams, practically, not only theoretically.
Right.
Though he went to some gatherings and presented some speeches and lectures, but the practical, let's say, seerah of Lady Zahra is very much significant.
Right.
Though she was sick,
right.
Though she had babies, though she was so much sad because of the demise of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And for such a lady who just lost her great father, for such a lady in such a condition, in such a situation, which was really difficult to get out of home and go to the companions and go to the mosque and present speeches for the people. Look, the lady lost the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it was intolerable and intolerable for the Ashab, let alone Lady Zahra Sallallahu Alaihi. But despite all these difficulties, hardships, let's say that lady faced those days, but she tried her best to support Imam.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to introduce Imam and to open the right way or to show the right path to the followers of her great father, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Since wilaya is the continuation of imamate, so then we can say Lady Zahra Salamullah Alaiha is the founder of Aslul Wilaya, the principle of guardianship. Yeah, because the great wali is Amir al-Mu'minin, who was supported by Lady Zahra. And the great wali is Hassan and Hussein, Sayyidah Shabab Ahlul Jannah, were the children of Lady Zahra. They were brought up by Lady Zahra.
Yeah.
They were the students of Lady Zahra Salamullah Alayha. And of course, then these children, the nine children of Imam Hussein, who are the rest of the Imams, all of them are children of Lady Zahra Salamullah Alayha. So that's why the role of Lady Zahra is really significant, is really important, is really crucial. In a way that we can say that maybe without Lady Zahra Salamullah Alayha, we would not have such a strong kind of belief in Muslim Ummah, as we are now called Shia, to the Imamate. Because Lady Zahra was like a role model, after the Holy Prophet. That's why whoever follow this lady, he or she is 100% sure that this path or this way that they follow, it is the true way. It is the way of salvation.
Right.
They will be saved from the hellfire by Lady Zahra Salamullah Alayha. So this look such a role Lady Zahra Salamullah Alayha had in the history of Islam, and of course, as you rightly mentioned, into the establishment of the principle of imamate.
Okay, Jazakallah. Thank you so much, Sheikh Rouhani, for taking time out of your busy schedule, joining us and talking just a little bit about this beautiful persona in the history of Islam, Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamu alayha. And again, our condolences to you and your near and dear ones upon Her Eminence's martyrdom.
Thank you very much. Of course, I do also offer my condolences, first of all, to the Holy Imam, Imam Al-Asr wa Huna Fida, because Lady Zahra is mother of this Imam. And of course, to the Maraji, to Ulama, and to the Shia Mu'mineen and Muslims, I should offer my condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of this lady, of course. And of course, I do thank you and appreciate you for very nice, let's say, discussion that we had about Lady Zahra Sallallahu Alaiha. Of course, it's a mere nothing, it's just our duty to say if we know something about, if we know some few words about Lady Zahra. Of course, the personality, the character of Lady Zahra is goes beyond our knowledge, you know, our let's say, what we can say. It's beyond the domain of anyone's knowledge.
Yeah.
But just we few riwayat and ahadith that we heard from the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salatu wasalam, and we mentioned only those things, nothing from our own selves.
Thank you very much. And dear viewers, thank you so much for joining us on the Islamic Pulse talk show. Again, our condolences to you and to all the believers all across the world, wherever you are, upon the martyrdom anniversary of Lady Fatimatu Zahra, Salamullah Alayha. Until another talk show, that's all from us. Fi amanallah and Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullah.